Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. Tantra Cafe is brought to you on Wednesday evenings and East Coast time, 10 p.m., and Sunday afternoons, East Coast time, 3 p.m., and you do the math if you're on another coast. This is bbsradio.com, and I welcome you with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which means peace, peace, peace. We are one in peace. Anyway, it's great to be back. I have a very exciting show for you this evening. And for my appetizer tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about where Tantra or sacred sex practices began. Now, in the West, which, and by the West, I mean the United States and Europe, one would think that Tantra began in southern India in a Dravidian tradition, and most people who practice Tantra actually believe that the practices came from India. Actually, Indians believe that the practices came from India too, although because I go to India all the time, I can tell you that not many people in India have any clue as to what Tantra is. It's pretty much strategically been whitewashed, and I say whitewashed tongue-in-cheek. It's pretty much been washed out of the culture. It's been washed out of Hinduism. And when people say they've studied Tantrism in India, normally it's a very intellectual studying. It's something that's like a university course of study where people study ancient texts, and they get familiar with the intellectual knowledge about it, but they don't so much practice the practices. That's not to say that I haven't run across anybody in India who practices. I have run across some tantric priests, but I haven't had the occasion or the, I haven't had the opportunity to really study with them, although I've tried. I definitely have tried. It just hasn't happened yet. So anyway, I say all this to say it's my belief that ancient sex practices, the practices of sacred sexuality where people discovered that sexual energy was more of a cultivation, which I've talked to you all about before in the program with Mead Rose, we did talk about cultivation, the word cultivation, where sex energy cultivation was practiced. It's been my belief for the longest time that these practices actually started in Africa, and that they started, the location would be somewhere around Egypt. And it's interesting because of my guest this evening, I pulled out a text that I have called Egyptian Tantra Yoga by a Dr. Muata Abaya Ashby. And in the very beginning of the book, the author's foreword, it says, I quote, "Yoga, in all its forms and disciplines of spiritual development, was practiced in Egypt earlier than anywhere else in history." I just pulled that right out of the first page of the foreword of this book. So I was inspired to do that based on my guest this evening. So that is your appetizer. The appetizer for this evening is to say, those of you listening, those of you who are yet to listen, who will listen to the podcast, perhaps consider that the practices that we've discussed for so many shows and the practices that I've taught for so many years don't really come from India. They may have flourished in India, but they didn't start there, and that there is a whole school and foundational set of practices, theories, study that comes from Africa, the continent of Africa, and possibly Egypt. My guest will give us her take on that, of course. But anyway, that's so much for that this evening, the appetizer. I want to tell you a little bit about my guest tonight, who will be the main course. Let me say this. Her name is Newt Butterfly, and she is an internationally recognized Nubian Kamite priestess. She's a speaker and a bliss activist who guides healers and artists in all manner of spiritual creativity to realize their gifts through unconditional adoration, whole self-mastery, and orgasmic awareness. That's a lot in one paragraph, huh? To say. Also, there's no mistake that she's Newt Butterfly, and everything I do is butterfly workshops. So we're connected in ways that we don't even know as yet. She is the chief priestess of Kra Mut Ankh, Temple of the Mother of Life. She is the holder of the lineage of Sheet Mir, a resurrected ancient African initiatory path of orgasmic alchemy, and once lost great-grandmother to Indian Tantra. Newt is featured in the DVD Magdalene Unveiled, The Ancient and Modern Sacred Prostitute, by best-selling author Kenneth Ray Stubbs, and in the newly released Reclaiming Eros, Sacred Whores and Healers, by Suzanne Blackburn and Margaret Wade. In all she does, Newt shamelessly proclaims, orgasm is enlightenment. So, after saying all that, that's a pretty auspicious introduction. After saying all that, it is my great pleasure to introduce you all to Newt Butterfly. Newt, are you on the line?
Most assuredly.
Very, very good. I'm glad to have you on my show. We've been communicating back and forth for a really long time, and finally the moment is here that you can be on Tantra Cafe. So welcome, welcome.
Perfect time.
Yeah, perfect. So I said a bunch of things there before I actually gave your introduction about
you did.
This book. Yeah, I read this book so long ago. I know exactly where I got it, from somebody I met at a health trade show in Philadelphia. He gave me this book, and I knew, because I had been suspicious anyway, I knew that Tantra had deeper underpinnings than where people assume it came from in southern India. I just knew it, and here it was in this book. So, so far, you're my expert on all
that. Oh, beautiful. And I want to congratulate and commend you on the valiant attempt to speak the ancient language earlier, because it takes some doing.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you.
My name
might have
is
pronounced
tough enough.
Wrong.
My name is tough enough, but you went for it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And
I
mean that, because it's about respect. It's about making the attempt to get into a position, a linguistic or mental position that we're not so familiar with, or a historical position that we're not so familiar with. It's very important for me to really commend and applaud those attempts, because anytime we're stepping outside of what we felt were the boundaries of defined reality, it's a big deal.
Good. Thank you. I accept. And let me tell you that I prefer to live in the unknown. So it's really, that's the one thing, that's the biggest thing I've learned from Tantra. So I thank you, I accept. And if I made any blunders on the words, okay, we'll carry on. You can actually correct them as we talk. You can talk about it and educate both myself and the listeners.
With a culture as old as what we're talking about here, I'll let you in on a secret. I am moving close into 20 years as an initiated ordained priestess in this tradition, and I'm not entirely sure we're saying it right either.
Thank you. That's great. It's funny that you should say that, because I just spent last week 5 days at a yoga retreat for 14 hours a day doing a not very well known form of yoga. I was doing hatha yoga in the Svarupa style, And it's not a well-known, it's very gentle, and, you know, it's not sexy, it's not hot yoga, it's not power yoga, but it's really great for you. And they were saying lots of Sanskrit words, and people were asking questions in the philosophy part of the course, and I was like, these people don't know, nobody knows, you know. Oh, they didn't know how to spell things. And I said, you know, who cares? Everywhere I am around Sanskrit, someone spells it in English differently from how it probably was written in a Sanskrit form. So most people don't exactly know how to pronounce things. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's no way. These things are ancient. There's no way for us to know.
And, you know, I believe that our ancestors and all of these ancient traditions, I truly believe that that is somewhat deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
That it's so important that we not deify or the past. The importance of any of these traditions is that we can breathe life into them now, that they live in and as us now. What gives the sacred words or the sacred sounds in any tradition their power is not the sound. It's not what was chiseled on temple walls. It's the living breath. It's the life force. It's the orgasmic essence flowing through and over my tongue and past my palate. That's
yep.
what gives the sacred words their power. So it doesn't matter
well,
if I get a vowel wrong here or there.
Yeah, and you're saying that beautifully. I mean, the way you're expressing that is really beautiful. That's what's so, you know. And I don't think I actually think coming from a place like that, there's no way you can get it wrong.
No.
You know, there is no wrong about it. It's just, you know, a means of expression so that we can communicate with one another. And basically, it is the breath. And sometimes the words are just, you know, our ditch effort to get the knowledge from one person to the next.
Yes, yes. I mean, ultimately, we're in all of these traditions, this, you know, it's sacred, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you're going to say. It's about
right.
divine communion. And if that's actually true, whatever we come into that sacred space with will be corrected. I could, you know, say Scooby Dooby Doo Wop. If I'm doing it in sacred space, if I'm doing it in a place of truly surrendered orgasmic trance, Scooby Dooby Doo Wop will move you. It will move the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I can say to that. Yes, I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got into this. Like what, you know, I know that I, you know, my first question always to my guests is, how did you first get interested in Tantra? And I know you have some things to say about that, some distinctions to offer us. So, you know, how did you first get interested in this, and how did it happen to you? Because oftentimes my guests say that they didn't go after it came after them. So what happened to you?
Wow. What happened to me was a lot of life and a lot of confusion. I didn't go looking for Tantra, sacred sexuality, Taoist tradition, and I certainly didn't go looking for this wonderful but really out there and weird ancient African tradition that wound up claiming me. I was running away. I was doing everything I could to run away from the legion of invisible people who had been with me my entire life, and just I felt made me weird, and I wanted to fit in, and you know, I wanted to be like every other teenager and early 20-something out there, or at least like I imagined them to be. And in my running, I ran right into some really ugly situations. And one of those ugly situations, well, two of those ugly situations were two rapes. that occurred in my life, that occurred to me. And in the process of healing from rape trauma, I also developed some very serious physical ailments because I wasn't doing so good with that because I was still dedicated to the running away thing.
Okay.
So, you know, looking at the source of my own sexual identity and trying to heal violence done to that and relationships with men folk in general, while at the same time trying to deny a really strong through line of spiritual essence and communion with divine, it didn't bode well for my health.
I can imagine.
In the process, I got very, very ill. And, of course, most of that illness centered on my reproductive organs, center of creativity, which I was denying. And somehow, in the midst of trying lots of things that did not work, I wound up meeting someone who did massage. And I had never had a professional massage before, but in speaking to this man, something just happened where it clicked. Touch is what you're missing. Conscientious touch. And it needs to be from a him. It needs to be from a man. That bridge has to be healed. So I sat and I talked with him about this, and I talked with him about what I was healing from, and we made this whole arrangement. I, for my sanity and protection, I had a girlfriend of mine come with me.
Very smart.
To witness this.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened that day was nothing short of a miraculous, multidimensional, lights bouncing off the ceiling. We made the most sweet, energetic, sacred, non-penetrative love that is possible to be made in this dimension.
Mm.
And I had a witness to this. I had two witnesses to this. We had two witnesses to this because she also brought her then 2-year-old son. And I'll never forget the 2-year-old sons. This is the end bit that's the answer to your question. How did this get me?
Yeah.
The son, while I'm laying on my stomach or back or being flipped over, I don't remember what position my physical body was in. I'm seeing rainbows and lights and crystals spinning in the air and all kinds of stuff, and he later said he was too, but I figured that was just what we were going through. This 2-year-old boy said, "Mommy, why are rainbows coming out of Moot?" Moot means mother in our language.
Uh-huh.
"Mommy, why are rainbows coming out of her?"
Wow.
So that experience got me to stop running. And that experience got me to really investigate, okay, what energy portal did we open up? And why am I suddenly not having the intense ovarian pain and swelling that I was having only a couple days before that?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I suddenly well? Why have I suddenly got energy? Why am I suddenly turned on in ways I hadn't been in years?
Mm-hmm.
And I am a very curious person, and I began to investigate. And I investigated some tantra, what little was there at the time. This is the early 90s.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that that was a long time ago, but
the information age
hadn't really hit us yet.
Right, and it was very
before
little
before computers.
Right, that's right.
Before
it
the internet.
It was very little known. There was very little you could find out about it, even though there were some things out.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot out, and you had to really know something to find it.
I had to, it was, you know, I came upon a few groups, and honestly, they really turned me off. Because they were very centered on the what position do I get in,
right?
What technique? What's the ABC of getting her or him off?
Right.
And I was wanting to get at what was that magic? Where did those rainbows come from? And did I really do it, or did it happen to me? I needed those questions answered. So I retreated or went deeper into the African tradition that was beginning to claim me at that time. And I found most of my answers there. In African spiritual culture, throughout the continent, possession, divine possession, direct communion with divinity is the center, the core of spiritual practice. And my elders saw in me very quickly a definite energy. And I very quickly was immersed in cultivating an ongoing possession with that energy. And that energy is known in our tradition as Hetheru. She is a representation of divinity in feminine form, who is the owner or the lady of all sexuality, pleasure, creative expression, abundance, wealth, and healing as well. It is an energy of transformation, of embodying transformation, and cultivating that relationship was a way of attuning me, mind, body, and spirit, to a very intimate and ongoing relationship, possession, if you will, with the essence of transformation, which is where I found the answer to that question. Where'd those rainbows come from?
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's just, that's an amazing, and can you, would you mind telling our listeners and me, you know, like what your age was then, you know, when all the, when this wake
oh
up,
my
when
God.
Your awakening happened? Pardon?
It's so, it's crazy. I was like 25. I was like 25, but I was 25 going on like 60, whereas now, you know, I'm 43 and a half going on like 22.
Right.
You know, I'm doing this whole other thing because I was so, I really was sick and tired. Pretty close to suicidal. I just didn't have anything to live for because the passion, my access to passion had been cut off from the experiences that I had, from the traumas, and from how I was handling them, and the lack of support in really being able to awaken and walk with that energy. It's been one of the central things in my life as a healer, as a professional healer, to really offer an alternative to the kind of healing modalities, especially for women, but for men too, because there are just as many men who are rape survivors.
Yes.
Perhaps maybe even more. That's scary to think about, but it might be true.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't
know. A lot, mostly they don't come out and tell us.
They don't come out and talk about it. I get to see them.
Yeah.
It's the modalities that are offered for healing that particular wound, which is a very core identity wound. You know, our sexuality is about our, how we express that which is eternal in us, the core of our identity, our soul in the world, how that gets expressed through this body. A wound there is very, very crucial and critical, and most of the modalities do not, instead of giving us a pathway to heal and re-embrace that core, that passion, that orgasmic energy that is the life force, it instead they create ways to build walls and diversions away from it.
Yeah, well, that's because the people in these professions don't have any idea what you are talking about.
It's sad. It's really, really sad.
I mean, they're scared of their own sexuality. We don't, we can go, I don't even want to get lost in that, but for the most part, they're into accommodation and, you know, having people become sort of comfortable vegetables as opposed to fully expressed, empowered individuals, and I'm not going to blame them. They just don't know any better.
They do the best they can with what they know. They just don't know. They just shouldn't be doing it. They shouldn't be touching it. They have no
yeah.
business there because they really do. You're right. They don't know it. And for some people, a life on Prozac may work. For me, it wasn't going to. There was
you knew
no way.
Exactly where I was going. You read right in between the lines there. I love it. I mean, people are like walking around like, you know, vegetables, like the night of the living dead. So yeah, and that there's no sexual energy in that. One of the side effects of those drugs, when they advertise it on TV, they say maybe sexual side effects. No. It means there may be no sex after that.
Not at all. No, and it's not even the no sex, because here's, you know, the people are having sex because, you know, they feel weird about not doing
yeah.
it, and there's all these obligations. There's no bliss, no pleasure.
Right, right. Well, there's no, they can't
no.
feel, they're cut off. Listen,
nothing.
We have to stop, we need to stop for a moment and take and have a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and pick up right where we left off.
Good.
So we'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handler, your host, and my guest tonight is Nut Butterfly, and she is talking to us about ancient African traditions of sacred sexuality and how she found her way there and how you might find your way there, too. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/ Tantra Cafe. Go there now. Hi, everybody. We're back, and thank you for staying tuned to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. You are listening to bbsradio.com, and I'm Laurie Handler, your host. And this evening, I have the pleasure of talking with Nut Butterfly, who is really an internationally recognized Nubian Kamite priestess. And she talked before about how I was saying the words and whether we didn't know really if I was saying them right or not. What that means, though, to you who may or may not have any idea what that is, Nubian or Kamite, she is in an African tradition, an African lineage, if you will, that encompasses sacred sexuality and the expression of the creative life force in breath, in sexual energy. And so it's a close relative to Tantra. Actually, it's my belief that Tantra was sprung from such a tradition. Maybe not this exact tradition, but how would we know anyway if it's 7,000 years old? I certainly don't know. So we're going with it. That's all. And the thing is, Newt talked about it finding her from a series of experiences that happened to her. A couple of rapes is enough to make somebody crazy, is enough to put somebody out of commission, is enough to get somebody frozen and numb on the kinds of pharmaceuticals that are given to people in states like this. And instead, she found her way to a sacred ritual that opened her up and had rainbows coming out of her. So, Newt, we're back. And, just let's keep going, because I think we're going. We're attempting to give people the right to their own, their birthright, the energies of creation. That's what this show is about. Having people be real, letting go of shame and blame and guilt and all the things that accompany growing up as a person now in our crazy world. So you're going back to an ancient tradition. I've gone back to an ancient tradition to reclaim ourselves. And so, please tell us more about your awakening to who you really are.
Well, it's ongoing. I'm on the mountaintop. If I am, the mountain itself is moving. It's so
important.
That's
a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because, sometimes the mountain's flat and sometimes it's up. It's a ride. And for me, it's what I've found in my own tradition and what I've found that is true. For me, and let me make a distinction here. My priestesshood in the culture is very definitely that. In the culture, we speak of our tradition as spiritual culture, not as religion. One, we're older than religion.
Right.
Far, far older. And the religion actually literally means to rejoin. And we would have no need to rejoin if we already know we are one. And this is, how do I know my true self, and how do you, and how does anyone? By practicing it. By practicing being in a vibration that says that's what is true. That practice can be pure imagination in the beginning. That's perfectly fine. One of the tenets of our tradition is something if I could share this with you and your audience, we have a practice of sacred sounds called HESI. And this is something that in my work with initiates, we combine these sacred sounds with touch in order to, as a way to bring vibrational reality into physical reality so we can feel it.
In the body.
In the body. Mm-hmm. And that's with the touch is kind of like, it's like chocolate ice cream or something. It's extra. You feel it in the vibration, and it's a very simple, there's a very simple saying that is the root and the core of our tradition, and it really explains everything, our perspective. And that phrase is this: Nukpu nukku amiku kimam ketiru n-n-t-r-t-hau. And what that means is, I am that I am. I am a shining being. I dwell in light, and I am made from the limbs of divine. Those words are chiseled on temple walls at least 5,000 years old, probably double that. And that is the foundation that I and the end all be all, there's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
I am that, that am me. And
yeah.
This is what we reiterate over and over again. At first, it's like, yeah, right. But it's like a dance. It's like making love, because it is making love. We continue over and over again. We keep stroking this. We keep stroking this reality, that vibration. We keep coming into it so that we can come into, literally, come into awareness of our own inner divine nature. Why is that important? It's important whether you're a tantrika, whether you're a Baptist, whether you're a Chemite, whether you are an agnostic, whatever. It's important because you're alive. We are here on this planet and we are one with one another. Mm-hmm. And when we can connect to the source of all oneness, we find it much easier to connect with, take care of, commune with, experience pleasure with, resolve conflict with, forgive with one another here in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, there's I don't know if you saw this, after The Secret, the same people made a movie. I think the same people, I don't know. Similar people were in the film, The Moses Code.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't, I wasn't that enamored of the film. I thought it was kind of boring, but the basic premise of it was the Moses Code was a comma, and it was the comma needed to be placed in the same sentence you've just said. I am that. I am. Mm-hmm. So we could point outside ourselves. I could point to you, or you could point to me, or I could point to a flower or a tree or even war or anything, mm-hmm. and say, I am that. I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like the comma being placed after the that, and that was the Moses Code. That was the premise of the film, that the Moses Code was the comma being placed after the that. So I would assert, I am that. I am. I am. So
that's interesting. I hadn't known that. I know of the film, but I did not see it. That's interesting just because of the syntax of what I shared from you.
Exactly.
The ancient text. Because if I were to really translate it very, you know, I gave you kind of like the common English translation, but if I were really to translate it, Nukpu. Nuk would be I is.
Okay.
I is, and Poo would be is. I is.
Is.
That's what it really would be. I is.
I can totally get that, too. I can get that as
I
well,
is
though.
Enlightenment.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like that. So that's very interesting. I had never heard that about the Moses Code.
Yeah, that's what the whole film was about, the comma, where the comma was placed and what it really meant, you know, like pointing out there into whatever seems separate and distinct from me and saying, no, I am that.
Yes.
I am.
Well, there's only one of us.
Right. In all creation, there's only one of us.
There's only one of us.
That's great.
And because there's only one of us, even though it may sound like a contradiction, because there is only one of us is why I have dedicated a big part of my life to helping others understand that this lineage, that there's a sacred lineage and very definitely a sacred sexuality lineage that goes to the heart, the very beginnings of civilization in ancient Africa. Because it's so important that as we're thinking and we're cultivating this universal oneness that we don't leave any part of the family out.
That's right. That's right. That's great. Well, I'm excited. I'm really excited about that. And now I'm going to go back in this book that I pulled out today and go back through it. But let's go a little bit to your everyday, you know, kind of like your because we're right now in kind of the theoretical and the underpinnings of what it is you believe and what it is, you know, how we connect on that, because I certainly connect with you in that. What, and probably most of the listeners do as well, and there might be a few who don't, but so in your practice, you know, like what do you do? What do you do when you see people, you know, for healings and things like that? Like, what would people want to know about coming to you, or, you know, how long you've been practicing being with other people and transmitting ancient secrets? And please note, you know, we'll have another break here. We'll have to break this up, but we could start.
Well, okay. Where shall we begin? What do I do? You know what? The first thing is, I generally don't, in healing sessions, I don't get to see any of the stuff we just talked about. Because, really, someone is coming to me as an initiate. And I speak of all those who come to me as initiates because this is really what I offer and require of them, to really surrender to and take in, like food, like daily food and water, this new vibration, this new tradition, this new perspective, not of me, not of the world, but of themselves and their place in it, and how long their lineage is, and what they can draw on, and what is the real power inside their passion. And to me, that requires initiation. That's a little more than, you know, a session.
So do they have to do certain things to prove to you that they're serious?
Yes. Okay. I do tend to only work with healers. And here's my reason for that. This particular society is full of a lot of hang-ups around sex.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a consumer culture. And unfortunately, a lot of people who have very genuine aspirations and genuine need for healing only know how to speak in consumer language.
Right.
So what do I get for an hour, and what, you know, what services can I get? Do I get the bath and the massage? Do I get the sacred sound? Well, can you throw in the incense?
Right.
That's not going to fly. not because I'm so great and precious and such a diva. Yeah, I am, but that's not why. Because that person coming to me is worth so much more than that. That the opportunity, in order to get the fullness of the opportunity that their soul has brought them to me to receive, I need them to open up a little bit. But I do it gently. I have a wonderful kind of opening process that everyone gets to go through. It's very simple. Write me a letter, fill out a questionnaire. I sit down, I give them a free meeting. We talk, we get all of that stuff out of the way, and if they can get beyond how do I make her come, how do I get him to last longer, if they can get beyond that in the first 20 minutes of our talking together and are ready to look a little deeper, then we have a journey to take together.
Nice. Very nice. Well, we're going to have to stop right there for a second. I know I like this, though. We're going to keep people on the edge of their chair just a little bit longer so we can find out more. And I also want people to be able to get in touch with you. We need to take another break. So we'll be right back in case you've just tuned in. This is Tantra Cafe. I'm here with my guest, Nut Butterfly, and she is a high priestess of an African tradition that goes back at least 7,000 years, and it has a lot to do with orgasmic alchemy. And it's not what you might think, which is what's so great about this conversation. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Well, we're back. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe at bbsradio.com. And, you know, I forgot to tell the listeners how to call in, so I'm going to tell you that right now. If you want to ask us any questions, anything to me or to my guest, Newt Butterfly, you can call 888-228-4494 in the U.S. or Canada, and you can call on 877-489-6350 worldwide, anywhere else in the world. Case there's anything you'd like to say to us or ask us. You just heard a small piece of a track called Durwood Green, and the artists featured on that track are Phil Thornton and Hossam Ramsey, and it's from an album or a CD called Immortal Egypt, and I'm sure you can get why I selected that piece right now because of what I said to you earlier, that I believe that Tantra comes from an African tradition. A lot of it may have happened in Egypt. And just in honoring my guest, I picked out a piece of music that I thought, you know, would more honor her in that way. So that was what you just heard. And we're back again. We're going to be talking some more about what Newt does. So people come to you. You screen them in a certain. You have a particular procedure for screening them and getting their, seeing if their head's screwed on right, actually.
If their intention is clear.
Yeah, okay, good.
Because the work is very immersive. I have a lot of fun with it. My initiates and I laugh continually. And as any of them will tell you, I turn them inside out. The world is not the same again. Because we really are looking at a different way of looking at the world, of living and being and knowing yourself in the world. So it's, you know, it's not so much about like an entrance exam qualification. It's, you know, it's just being true to what their desire is and supporting that to the fullest. And also being true to basic logistics. There's, you know, one of the reasons that I'm very dedicated and excited about working with healers, which is, you know, that's not something I consciously decided. It's something that came to be revealed over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about it because we need more of us.
Yes.
The need for healing is greater than there are healers to meet it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about being able to work with serious, dedicated, curious, creative people who are change agents in every walk of life. You know, I want to make that clear, too. When I say I generally work with healers, they're not all people, you know, who have crystal altars and wear purple.
I'm real glad to hear that.
Some are accountants, some are lawyers, some are radiologists, some are real estate brokers. You know,
yeah.
Healing has to happen if we're really serious about world change. Healers must be installed in every area of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This consciousness is not, if it's relegated only to the temples, we might as well forget it.
Right, right.
You know, we need
very
to bump
practical.
Into this when we're at the bank. We definitely need to bump into it at the bank.
Right, that's right. It's beautiful. It's
Can
very
you imagine?
Practical and it's necessary.
Can you imagine meeting an orgasmic bank officer?
I could, actually.
Isn't that, you know, just
yeah.
like everyone, just kind of like really imagine a world like that.
It's
everyone is attuned to their orgasmic core, from the mail carrier to the person, you know, slinging coffee.
That's beautiful, beautiful. I do imagine a world like that, or else I wouldn't be able to do what I do, so I... You know, it's like that's definitely my vision. It's in my vision. I have I have certain visions for corporate America and corporate everywhere else, and I have visions about that really everywhere. So I always say to people, welcome to my world. So
mm-hmm.
I guess you and I are envisioning a similar kind of world. And that's
hey, we're
good.
Not the only ones, because I think we got one in the White House right now.
I do, too. I do, too. I was going to say
you know?
That.
I really do.
I
see
so
definite
we'll
conscious orgasmic energy going on
definitely,
there.
Definitely, definitely. Good. Hallelujah to that.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see here. The thing is, I want to say, you said something to me that once somebody has the door open to orgasmic awareness, it's impossible for them to go unconscious again. And that's like a warning that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. So how do you keep tabs on all these people that you open up to this? You know, do they move around you, or do they live in different parts of the world? And
no, they live in different parts of the world.
Okay.
It's become a worldwide thing. One of the things that surprised me very much in the beginning, I'm very much a touch addict. I love touch. Touch,
okay.
touch. And I did not believe that I could work over the phone, let alone the Internet. I really didn't, and I fought it for a long time. And
mm-hmm.
some friends of mine actually roped me into teaching a telecourse. And I just didn't believe it was possible. And I said, fine, you know, if you guys want to do this, I'll do it. And I even had them set the price for it, because I was so totally, this is just not going to happen. You know, this is not going to work. You guys
mm-hmm.
pay whatever you want to pay. And it changed my life entirely. What
amazing.
I discovered was, I can touch across time and space, and I don't have to have ever touched the person physically
right.
to facilitate that.
Right.
And so I, you know, that's the first answer to that question. My initiates are everywhere and can be everywhere. And I have this uncanny gift, weirdness, quirk.
I have to break in for 1 second and let you
mm-hmm.
know that we're almost at time.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I didn't realize it. I'm so enthralled with the conversation.
That happens, and that's good. You know, we wanted people to have a taste of it.
We do.
But I was just going to say, I remember everyone, and I don't know exactly how that happens, but I do remember everyone. So I keep tabs on them energetically in that way, which is another
wonderful.
Reason why the screening is so important.
Now, let me ask you, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, we have a wonderful website. Well, we have a website. It's getting more wonderful by the day.
Okay.
And that is orgasmicliving.com.
Orgasmicliving.com.
Living.com.
Okay, wonderful. And they can find out your contact information and
you
write
your
email.
You can find out the contact information there. You will immediately be taken through to our newest offering. Right now we're taking applications for a divine masculine immersion program for men, just for men, and that's called the King's Table. And they'll find information about that there. And
wonderful.
Be able to tap into that. And
well, let me thank you so much, Newt, for being my guest tonight. Everybody, you've been listening to Newt Butterfly on Tantra Cafe with me, Laurie Handlers. If you want to follow up with this, you can, of course, go to the archives at bbsradio.com. You can go to tantracafe.com, where I also have my archived shows. You can write me a note at butterflyworkshops.com. And I really want to thank you so much, Newt, for being with me. By the way, Newt's based in Tucson, Arizona, and soon that I'm going to be her neighbor. As many of you know, I'll be moving to Phoenix, Arizona. I look forward to seeing you all again next week on my show, Tantra Cafe. And until then, I'm saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. Peace, peace, peace.